The topic of my talk is on the issue of the intersection of informational privacy and social privilege. And it's based on a paper that I did, well, it's really still a work in progress, but it's a paper that I'm working on, which asks the question, do privacy and privilege converge? Do these things come together in the information society? To begin with, I'm going to basically lay out some of the concepts that I'm working with here, even though some of them will be familiar to you or may be familiar to you. You should know about how I'm using them in this context. I won't go into too much weeds detail. But I'm using a conception of privacy that's mainly about the concept of control. And it would be the collection of parameter and also the distribution of parameters. So we're talking about surveillance and reuse. I'm also interested in the aspects of privacy that have to do with intimacy, because that's the part of privacy that I think is important in establishing relationships among people and between peoples and their institutions like government. And I'm also, I think like all of us here, interested in the dimension of privacy and how it intersects with potential harms, how people can be harmed by the loss of their privacy, either the violation of their privacy explicitly or just the violation of their right to privacy. And finally, what this all means to me and why privacy is important to me is that I think that privacy is an aspect of power. If somebody can control information about you, they can control a great deal about you. If somebody has the power to violate your privacy, they probably have the power to do a lot of other things too as well. So I use a couple of politically or socially charged words, and one of them is privilege. Everyone in this room has some idea about what privilege is. It's a word that gets bounced around a lot in our public narratives and in our media. But I'm going to define it based on the literature that I'm working with and as unearned power and advantage derived from affiliation with a dominant social group. And what that means is that your privileged state is defined for you. And it's defined by where you were born, to whom you're born, and a variety of other factors that you have no control over. These are some examples of privileged states in American society, which also European society. These are just some of the aspects that define privilege in our society: white male, Anglo, straight, non-Muslim. This is what privilege looks like. This is also what privilege looks like. And this is what privilege looks like. Now, conversely, when someone doesn't have privilege, there are a lot of ways of describing it. I use the term unprivileged to describe the experience of experiencing barriers to your life choices, to your flourishing, because of who you are and where you come from. These are just a few examples of states of unprivilege. There are many other categories that take place alone or in combination that result in people experiencing barriers, again, due to not having anything to do with merit or hard work, but having to do with who they are and how they got there. And it's a state that you have really no control over. How this plays out in the context we're talking about is in the world of information systems, is that I believe that information systems have politics. Now, that's a controversial claim. Not everyone believes that. A lot of people think that information systems are just completely neutral and they have no politics. Well, I don't believe that. I believe that information systems actually reflect their creators. Creators pour their intent into their systems. And then they're also defined by the context of use. Users as well pour their intents and their hopes and dreams into the way they use technology, and that creates the politics that systems have. So that makes these systems socio-technical. I actually came across a really cool quote in an article I was reading just yesterday. The machine is always social before it is technical. And this was actually from someone writing about the history of cinema, and they were commenting on trying to make a division between understanding the history of cinema as being a history of devices, cameras, screens, that kind of thing, and being a history of people experiencing this artifact, experiencing this development. So again, my potentially controversial point is that I don't believe any system is neutral, and that our biases are embedded in our systems. So where we're at now, as everybody in this room I'm sure is aware, is that people have becoming increasingly aware of their electronic privacy and its violation. In a Pew Research Center study conducted last year, thanks to Edward Snowden, we now see 87% of respondents know about government surveillance, which is astonishing, and it's a sea change from similar studies that were done just a few years previous about what people knew or believed. And what's also interesting is that the same studies revealed that a significant number of